It's like you got really good at knowing how to get all the equipment to the beach, and you forgot which side of the boat to throw it on. You've been throwing it. I think the biggest problem we have is the pattern where we throw our net in the same exact place. I've said that. I think that a lot of people, their evangelism stops because they haven't had success with the person that's most important in their life. Whether it's a spouse, a family member, a neighbor, it's somebody that above everything else they wish they could convert. And you almost feel guilty to try to evangelize to somebody else if you haven't got to that person. If I can't talk to my older sister and get her to come to church, how can I evangelize to anyone else? She means more to me than anybody else. And I think that, again, we're getting into God's way there. And we don't know what God has planned for each person. And we don't know if maybe we throw our net on the other side and all the fish are swimming into that net, they don't come around the boat, right? They can still get under the boat, I think we have to do it with Jesus. And so that's just my personal realization that this was for me. So I'm sorry you had to live through my self-analyzation here in front of you. But I think that we can all gain something from some of that sometimes. Again, we went to a desired results, and that's where we're going to end today. So, again, actually, we don't want that one. We want the next one, this one. This is where I'm going. So strengths, weaknesses, a plan, just do it. And that's where we're going to end with today. Now, I set this slide up, the evangelism strengths, and I started making a list of things that can be used in evangelism. And then I started Googling, what are strengths for evangelism? And wow, that was a hole I didn't want to go down. So we hit the X on the button there. So there's a lot of good ideas. And there's a lot of good stuff there, but I didn't want to sort through the weeds. And what I came up with is I don't want to put a list of strengths up here and have you sit there and go, but I'm good at this, and that wasn't on the list. So I'm not going to put a list of strengths up there. But I think that we have to see, I think the important things is what strengths do we have in our body? The New Testament church was often compared to a body. And again, eyes, very easy to see why we need eyes, right? A hand, we could maybe live without a hand, but it's very inconvenient, But I think there's people that we need, there's things in our body we don't even know what they're for, right? We don't really know, and maybe we do. I'm not an expert at anatomy or anything, but there's things that I was taught, at least in elementary school, like the appendix, that we don't even have an idea, but I think now they know a little bit more about what it does. But anyways, there's strengths that we don't even know why they're important, but somehow it keeps the glue of the body together. I guess I'll leave that. What strengths if you want to share something that you think, it doesn't have to be a personal strength, it could be a strength you see in someone else, but what kind of strengths do you think are important to creating a body that can evangelize? Because I want to get beyond just teaching. Evangelism is just not about teaching. Do we need good teachers? Yeah, it's extremely important. But, I can think of the people in my life that, I'm always be thankful for Phyllis July. Phyllis July is a large reason why, Tammy and I are standing here. She made it an effort to come and see us every time we were here when we were new. We were coming like once a month. They had a special service in Lapeer, and we'd come over on that week. And for a few months, we came here before we got married. I'll be eternally thankful to Denny Merkel. I don't think Denny ever lets anybody get out of the building without saying hi. I'm thankful when I see people passing out bulletins, when I see, people serving in different ways that are very reserved compared to what we might think of as evangelism. But those are strengths. Those are things the body can't do without. If you don't replace those people, again, that's not me. That's the opposite of me, what Denny did. But without that, when I see that weakness, I have to be part of the person that tries to fill that, because obviously God's speaking to us. We have to be willing to step outside of our comfort zone. We have to be willing to reach out to people we don't know. We have to be willing to sometimes take on roles that maybe we don't think we were prepared for. But I want you to think about that in your life. But again, there's strengths that you don't... I guess what I would challenge you to is find somebody who you think might not understand their own strength and tell them about it. You know, and unfortunately, I hope that I told Denny about that when he was with us. You know, and if I see Phyllis again, I want to tell her about that, because sometimes I think that that's just a personality thing. And we don't understand the effect we're having on other people. You know, and I think that that's important. So as you think about your own strengths, help other people see theirs. You know, I talked about Paul. Again, I wouldn't be here without Paul, because Paul listened to me ramble before you guys had to do that for many years. You know, we sat around the fire and man, I when he gets up here next week, I hope he doesn't talk about things I said, because then I may have to go in another room. But, you know, like, I mean, honestly, he might have been completely tuning me out. He may have not even cared one bit, but it was therapeutic to me. You know, God put it in his heart to not say, shut up. You know, and so whether he was listening or not, it was a service to me. And so I think sometimes we can almost accidentally serve, but we have to be able to identify your strengths. I talk to my kids at school about that a lot. You know, I teach a program where the majority of my kids have been identified as gifted, and some of them haven't. It's a constant battle for them to see the good things about them, because a lot of them are perfectionist personalities, and they have, if they sit there and compare to each other, we talk about all the time, somebody's got to be the worst at something. Just the way things happen. You know, like if there's a scale of quality, somebody's got to be the worst. That doesn't mean you're bad. You know, I'm looking at a kid in my bottom reading group that would be in the top reading group of another classroom. And I have to be able to put that into, but they're sitting there beside the kid that's got, you know, reading the dictionary for fun. And I got to keep them confident about that. And I think we have to do that spiritually too. There's a scale. We all have different talents. I may be good at something, you may be good at something else. But we have to be able to be confident in our strengths. How do we help each other to be the people? How do we help each other, help use each other to help the people we want to help? That comes into, you know, I think if I had to give myself a strength, it's being able to talk about my life and what I've been through, right? I can remember meaningfully a college class I went to in Lapeer where a kid came in and talked about his struggles with gambling. I mean, to the degree that you don't usually hear people confess to, right? We usually, when we're in Bible class and we confess to sin, we're like, yeah, I told a fib once. I probably shouldn't have done that. You know, like we sit there and I try teaching a teenage class. You want to like be a good example, but you want to talk about confessing sin, and you're sitting there racking your brain like, what's the latest sin I can get away with here? You know, like it's something that it's a struggle, man. We should be confessing everything, but we don't want to let anybody into that. And I remember him being so revealing. You know, and to me, that's always been a goal of mine. You know, I struggled, you know, like the thing is we have to be, but at that time, I knew anybody that had a struggle with gambling, here's somebody that has dealt with it. Not cured, not anything else, but knows what it's like to be a Christian and deal with this thing. You know, we have people that have dealt with all kinds of different things. With addiction to sin, with you know, family situations, with all sorts of things. And how do you connect people together, right? You know, I was bullied to a degree that, and I don't know, bullied is a hard word to discuss in today's climate, right? But, you know, I wasn't very happy with myself in high school. You know, and as I get later, I see that I deal with some social anxiety, right? And I can talk about that now. I talk what it's like to deal with feeling depressed and things like that, and dealing with that as a Christian. Because feeling like you're not worth it, which happens to a lot of our kids, and being told that Jesus, you know, like, we don't want our kids feeling like that, right? And especially when we have Jesus here to make us worth it. And being able to know that we have resources within each other is how we help people. Okay, there may be things that I don't have any ability to connect with somebody, but Tom might, or Ben might, or Paul might, you know, and we have to be able to use each other to be able to reach those people. How do we develop people to understand their strengths, just like we were talking about? Make sure that we're complementing each other. Complementing committing to helping people understand more than just making them feel good. All right, weaknesses. Again, we're approaching this from prayer. What's holding you back? I did put some lists on here because I think there's some real common things. Rejection. I'm sure we said, raise your hand if your evangelism has been affected by being rejected by somebody important. It would probably be a full house, right? Unless you've just never tried to evangelize, you're going to face rejection. Jesus, I mean, the Bible's full of examples of rejection, right? And it's probably the hardest thing for us to deal with, especially when we're fired up about evangelizing. I can't wait to tell you how Jesus changed my life. Somebody slams the door in your face. It's hard to deal with, whether it's a real door or just the communication door or whatever. Knowledge is a killer. Let me get you to my preacher. He knows more than I do, right? When you were the person that was set up to have the relationship with people, very few people are going to be converted without having a relationship with them. You know, that's why Jesus went into their homes. That's how he converted their hearts. He had dinner with them. You know, he wanted to see them eye to eye as a person. Don't let knowledge hold you back. You don't have to be able to answer every question. Be able to talk about what it happens in your life. I really think, and I have for a long time, our testimonies about how our life has changed is the most powerful tool we have. What has Jesus done for you? How is your life different? What is a situation that you've handled that's tough that's made easier? I actually watched this video. It was a YouTube video. It was an ad. I watched the whole thing. I wanted to show it this morning, but it's an ad for the Mormons, and I thought that would be a little confusing. But it was, the guy never said anything about the Mormon faith at all. He just talked about the gospel. And if we broke down what he was actually reading, it'd be a disaster. But the way that he talked about how people reached out to him and how he couldn't have been reached by people doing something else. You know, he was a scientist and he was not going to be reached by hearing stories about the miracles. That's not where he was ready to approach Jesus. You know, he needed to see. He actually had these people come and introduce him as a social experiment to understand how they lived. And he talked about how I saw these people happy and he had to think about all his conceptions about God and why were these people happy. You know, he had to be exposed in a lifestyle environment, and then he went back and went through all the, you know, he went back through all the different things that helped convert him. But it had to be from a relationship first. And it was a very powerful thing because I thought about, man, if somebody rolls in, do they see me happy? They see the joy. You know, obviously the commercial is blowing it out of proportions, you know. he said he walked into the church and it was like a beer commercial without the beer. You know, everybody was happy for, he couldn't figure out why. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, don't let things get in your way. Sin, forgiveness, repentance. We can get locked into a sin that holds us back, right? If I could just fix this, then I could tell people about Jesus. Even if it's a sin that we no longer are wrapped up in, forgiving ourselves can be harder than understanding that. And just trusting we have the skills, trusting in the Holy Spirit, trusting we have the ability to talk to people, right? You know, Jeremy's done a lot of things recently. I wanted to make sure I got to this point, but he's done a lot of things recently talking about how we should pray with a purpose. And I think when we pray for our weaknesses, we have to pray that we overcome our weaknesses so that God can use us as an instrument to spread his message, or so that God can help this person see that I'm doing something out of my comfort zone. And, you know, like the power of that, that transformative process is what we need the world to see. That this changed me. I used to be like this, now I'm like this. You know, I think that we need God to use us in a way, you know, because we can't just ask God to just say, fix us. Fix this, God. It's gotta be why. Why do you want to be, why not fixed? I shouldn't say fixed, but in some ways that's right, all right? So why do you want to be a better evangelizer? God, help me feel more comfortable with my knowledge so that I can talk to my neighbor. You know, it's, we want to pray in a purpose that leads us towards action, because then you're getting a dual purpose in one shot, right? You're praying to become stronger at something that you're weak, and you're praying for the conviction to do it. You know, I try to pray And I go through periods, just like everybody, where prayer is stronger than it is other times. But I always try to pray to be challenged. And I pray for other people to be challenged. It's a hard thing to pray for. God, make things hard. Because if we don't grow, if it's not hard. If we always pray, God, make things easy, we're not getting anywhere closer to the goal. And I think this is the kind of thing. God, work on the thing that I feel the worst about. All right? You know, that's nobody that doesn't like math likes to go to math class, right? It's tough. I loved math. I don't want to go to grammar class. You know, like, I'm not like, God, send me to more grammar class. I want to diagram some more sentences. That was really fun. You know, but in our life, we have to be willing to say, hey, God, you know, like for me, hey, God, you got to put me in social situations so I learn to get over the things I'm feeling and realize this is about you. You know, and that's not something I want to, you know, that's a tough prayer. But if we don't do tough prayer, we're not going to grow. Two more. A plan, right? You got to make a plan. The good news is you don't have to do this alone. God doesn't set it up for us to do it alone, right? He grabbed 12 guys, and that's probably just a fraction of what was actually traveling with them, right, at different periods of time. He had people all around. He grabbed a group of people to learn together, to fail together, to work together, to be examples for each other. He built the church in a way from the very beginning, that beginning group of an example for us to follow, right? And then he sends them out in pairs. When he goes out to send them out the first time, he doesn't send them out by himself. I mean, if you have 12 people, you could reach 12 locations. If you send them all together, it's probably a disaster. Well, he sends them out in pairs, right? He says, you have to have somebody to depend on. And I think it's this. We have to have accountability. Right, you know, like most things in life that get changed, like serious things that get changed, we can take an example from. All right, you know, like places like the, you know, 12-step programs and stuff, it's all about accountability. In the same way, when we want to change something about our life, even if it's changing from neutral to positive instead of negative to neutral, we have to have accountability. You have to say, hey, I want to reach out to my neighbor. Will you ask me next week how I did? When you have a responsibility to do that, you know, and I think in some ways, that's why it's harder for us reading the Bible sometimes, because we don't get the high school homework assignment. You know, a lot of our Bible classes aren't, hey, next week read chapter 6, 7, and 8. You know, and maybe having that accountability, you know, when I've been in small groups with Jeremy or other people, and there's been an accountability to read, especially in his groups where everybody had to reread if you didn't read, it's hard to walk into that room and say, all right, guys, we all got to do it again. You know, in the same way, we have to have accountability to each other. Finally, the last thought, hope you know what it is by now. Just do it. You know, Nike said it best. We make a lot of excuses. You just got to do it. You know, and this is the thing. I thank you for being here. I really do. I've enjoyed being able to teach. I've enjoyed the few things I've shared. I'm sorry I'm still not great at getting to people, but I wanted to get through everything in this short period of time. I didn't have one chapter that I was going to stretch out over 7 weeks like somebody else in the room. But, you know, here's the thing. We have the greatest message, right? And if we don't, you know, just read this. Thank you for taking the time to engage in this class. It was fun teaching this class, but it was a complete waste of time. If we don't attack the things that are keeping us from sharing the greatest message the world has ever heard, came to make you fishers of men. Let's get our nets in the water. We can say a whole lot of things about how good this is, what it did, it stepped on my toes, all that stuff. But if it doesn't change our behavior, it's another waste of 3 weeks. So, you know, it's tough. And again, it's not coming to you. It's coming at me. All right. I'm just imagining you guys as a big mirror. I didn't even see you today. Right. So, you know, it's one of those things. You got to take it for what you are. But we can keep saying it's really easy. And in a lot of ways, I've been saying that for the last 9 years. I'm going to do this differently. Well, it's time to just do it. Okay? So thank you guys. And I know Paul's going to do a great job next week. We're going to go for fishermen. I think he's going to throw us back in the water too. So let's support Paul and Ben. And hopefully I'll get a chance to come and talk to you guys again. So thank you. And keep, I don't know what to say. Bye.